the end of another year, and it seemed like it went by really fast. Where does the time go? Well, I'll tell you where it goes. Minute by minute, day by day, we live. And we make choices. And we do with our time what we choose to do with it. And it goes. And in most circumstances, we can't really blame anybody for how we used our time because we decided for ourselves how to use our time. It's true that there are people who expect things from us, or families expect things from us, or employers expect things from us. The church expects things from us. But we still are the ones who choose whether to satisfy those expectations or not. And that certainly is true even with respect to God, who gives us the time. He gives us time, and he allows us to choose how to use it. But he does expect things from us. And we have to choose whether we're going to meet those expectations or not. So I thought I'd use this last service sermon, anyway, of the year, talk about how we're going to spend the coming year. I've done this before. I don't know if you remember it or not. But I think it's a good thing to think about. How are you going to spend the year 2020? Do you anticipate spending it any differently than you did 2019. This passage in James chapter 4, is a great passage for making the point, of course. James says in James 4:13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town, spend the year and there trade and make a profit." Spend a year. That's the language that he uses. Spend a year. Like it's a sum of money. It's placed into your hand. And it's your money to spend however you want to spend it. But in this case, it's not money, it's time. And time is even more valuable than money because it's everything. It's everything that you have, really. It's your life, your time. And it's a valuable commodity, and you have to decide how you're going to spend it, what you're going to spend it on, what you're going to spend it doing. In this case, James is saying, now you're anticipating getting that year to spend. And that's the funny thing about time. You don't really know that you're going to have it to spend. You anticipate having it to spend, but maybe you won't. And so James says, you need to think about it when you plan on spending a year in the way that you choose. Maybe you'll have that time, maybe you won't have that time. But if you think you're going to spend that year going to a certain town and trading and making a profit, you don't know that, he says in verse 14. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Will you remiss? Appears for a little time and then vanishes away. As you probably have heard in the news, there was a shooting at a congregation of our brethren up in Fort Worth. And a man came into the congregation and took out a gun and killed someone and was himself then killed. Now, anybody who pulls out a gun and starts shooting people should anticipate that his life is not going to last very long. But the man who was in church there just to worship God, just to take the Lord's Supper, he did not plan on dying that day, but he did. And the question for us tonight in contemplation of that tragedy is, can we really be sure how long we have? And what we're going to do with the time that we have left. We lost some people in the past year. And that was surprising in some cases. We need to think about we might lose in the coming year. And if it might not be one of us. If it might not be me or you. Because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. We are all just here temporarily, and the time that we have to spend, we really don't know how much we have. So as James goes on to say, which I will tell you, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live in this or that. You know, the funny thing about it is that's always the case. It's always the case that God gives us the time according to His purposes. Now, when you think about that, why would God give us the time? Why does He do that? Is He just being generous or stingy? Is He just saying arbitrarily, I think I'll give this fellow another year, but this person doesn't have another year? You see, the truth that James is trying to point out to us is that God has His own agenda. God has His reasons for giving us the time that He gives us. And so it's not really our time to spend. It's His time that He loans to us for His purposes. And we have to think about those purposes. We have to think about what it is that God wants us to be doing with the time that He gave us. Because He doesn't just give us the time for no reason. He gives it to us for His reasons. And so that's what He says here. He says, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. It's His time given to us for His reasons. And so our boasting is arrogant to think it's my time and I'm going to do this because this is what I want to do with my time. It's mine. It's mine to do with as I wish. So I'm going to do it on this, that, or the other thing depending on what I want to do. But we shouldn't think that way. It's arrogant. Doesn't give honor to whom honor is due, God, who gives us the time. He says, all such boasting is evil, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Which is, it seems like an odd way to end that whole series of statements. But no, it gets to the point. And the point is this, is the time that God grants us, He grants us to do what is right. To do His will. To do the things He wants us to do. That's what makes it so bad when we don't do the things that God wants us to do. Because we are misspending the time that He has given us. We're treating it as if it's ours. We're treating it as if we're in control and we can decide what is good or valuable or how best to use our time. And that's not the way we should think about it. We should see the value of time. The true value of time is to do the Lord's will. That's the only right use of time. To use time for anything else other than to do things that are pleasing to God is a waste of time. And that's how we ought to think about it. Problem is, we typically don't. We think about our time in a very segmented way, and we say, well, we give some time to the Lord and some other time we don't give to the Lord. And that's not the way we ought to think about it. Everything that we do, whatever you plan to do, think about what is it that the Lord would have you to be doing with your time. Because otherwise, it's a mistake. So let's talk about spending a year to spend. There's a lot of a lot of points that we can make about this that I've made already. We live by the grace of God. It's by His goodwill that we live. And our plans are subject to His will. He will judge everything. Every deed that you perform, every decision you make, it's not like, okay, you get a bunch of freebies. No, they're all going to be placed on the balance of God's judgment. And He's going to decide whether you spent your time well or not. And our time here is valuable. It's very brief. There's not much of it. And we should live accordingly. We should be stingy with the way that we spend our time. We should take our time and say, this is valuable. We don't have much of it. We need to count. You know, when I was dating Peg, and we would go to a vending machine, she would buy whatever she liked. I would look to see what weighed the most, and I would buy that because I figured I was getting the most for my money. She thought I was crazy. She was right about that, of course, but at least I understood the principle that you have to get the most bang for your buck. What's the most bang for your buck in terms of time? We should live accordingly. We should live that way. We should use our time wisely, spend it well. And what we should do is think about that before we spend it. Don't let it just leak out of our pockets, so to speak. Don't let it just happen without thought. We should look ahead. There's nothing wrong with looking ahead in the year. Don't know if we're going to have it or not. But whatever limited amount that we do get, we should think about how we're going to spend it and spend it wisely. Now, in keeping with that, let's look at a series of passages that talks about a year, spending a year. You know, the whole concept of a year. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't think New Year's resolutions are a good idea. You know, we should just do the right thing all the time. And that's a perfectly valid point. Except that the concept of a year is God-given. God created the year. He gave us units of measure of time that are ordered by nature. And the year, of course, is one of those things. God made the sun and the process of the earth going around the sun to create a year. It was for the purpose of science to mark sacred times and days and years. The year is a God-given concept. It has to do with the path that the planet Earth goes around the sun. It takes an entire year to do that. And once that's over with, it starts again. And so the sequence of it, and of course we can tell that change of the year by the seasons. And He gives us a way to mark time. God gave us the year as a concept. He gives us the time of the year to spend. And we should spend it according to His will and by His authority. Genesis 47:18, the brothers of Joseph spent money to buy food, and they had enough food, but they ate all the food. And by the time a year was up, all of the food had run out. And they said, you know, what we need to do is we need to figure out what we're going to do when this year is up. And that's a good concept to think about. It's going to happen. The year is going to play out. The resource is going to come to an end. What are we going to do with that? How are we going to use the year that God has given us? Leviticus 25 and verse 4, the concept of the Sabbath year, a year of rest. Sabbath means rest. And the concept of Sabbath in the law has to do with sin. Work, drudgery, the difficulty of work, the working by the sweat of your brow, so to speak, is a result of sin. Sabbath concept of being relieved of that, of being able to rest, of not having to experience the drudgery. And the idea of a whole Sabbath year, that the land could be worked for 6 years, but the seventh year, the whole year, the fields are not to be worked. They are not to be plowed. They are not to be sown. That you get a year of rest for the land. A year of rest, as it were, for the animals. Well, we need to understand the concept of giving sin a rest. And understand that time is not to be spent in the pursuit of sin. It's not to be wasted in that way. We need to experience the deliverance from sin that God gives us. And in that sense, we have a Sabbath rest now. As Christians, as children of God, we don't have to experience that. And we get to choose whether we do or not. We need to plan out our year ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to give this year to rest, to Sabbath, to deliverance. That's an excellent way to use your time. I am not going to waste a precious second of my time committing sin because God has given me a Sabbath rest from that. That's a great way of thinking about it. Year of Sabbath rest. Leviticus 25:29. When a person sells his property, his homeland, his heritage, he has a whole year in which he can redeem it. And the idea of redeeming something that's precious and getting it back, something that you've sold away, something that you've lost, and that you have a year to do that in. Think about your time that way. You have a year ahead of you, Lord willing, and you don't want to just let that go. You don't want to just waste it. Maybe you look back on the past year and you say, I don't know where the time went. I don't really have much to show for the year that I've lived in terms of my service to God or my advancement of my faith or my strengthening of my faith or anything that I can show for my service to God. And I'm thinking, man, where did that go? And what did I really do with that? And so I want to redeem that. I want to buy that back. And that concept is taught in the New Testament, to redeem the days, to redeem the time, to buy it back. Think about that. A full year he shall have the right of redemption. Maybe the Lord grants you a year, this year. And maybe what you can do in that coming year is to redeem your life, your time, the way that you've misspent your life. Get some of that back. 2 Kings 8:26 and 27. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. He followed the ways of the house of Ahab and did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This guy got 1 year to be king. Maybe he thought he would have 20 years. Ahab certainly had a whole lot of more years than 1 year. But this guy got 1 year, all he ended up having, and he totally blew it. He misspent that year doing evil. I don't know how long God's going to give me or you. Am I going to waste my year? Like this guy did? Esther 2 and verse 12. Esther was one of the selected to be a potential candidate in the king of Persia's bachelor program. And so she spent a whole year in being beautified. 12 months of beauty treatment. I could get 12 years, it would make me better. 12 months she spent making herself beautiful for the king. You know, let's spiritualize that concept a little bit. How do you look to the Lord right now? Are you as beautiful to the Lord as you need to be? And what would it take to spend a whole year? What would qualify as making yourself more beautiful for the Lord? What would you be doing? You know, Peter talks about this, about let not your beauty be external. You know, as a woman, as a married woman, don't let your beauty just be external, the way that you dress and fix your hair, but let it be the inner quality of a quiet spirit, someone who is of use and helpful to one's husband or to family members or to community, someone who has the quality of a devout person, have that inner beauty which is precious in the sight of God. Think about the regimen of beauty improvement that would make you more beautiful to God. And I'm not just talking about women, of course. I'm talking about all of us making ourselves spiritually beautiful and spending a whole year doing that. That would be something, wouldn't it? Mark 14, 4 through 5, when Mary used that precious vial of ointment to anoint Jesus, and the disciples were upset about it because they saw it as a waste of money. And we read why this waste of perfume. It could have been sold for more than a year's wages. And so the world sees our application of our time and our money as being a waste. Think about the idea of taking a whole year's worth of work, a whole year's worth of work, and using it to honor Jesus. And the world would be just like the disciples. What a waste of time. What a waste of resources. You took all of that and you used it for your religion, for your service to God. And yet that is exactly the opposite of the way we ought to think about it. It's what the world uses its money for that it's a waste. It's the time that the world spends on its misbegotten adventures that is the waste. That is the waste. Every moment, every second, every dime that you spend on pursuing the Lord's interests and giving honor to Jesus Christ, that is the only thing that's not really a waste in the end. That's how we ought to think about it. Acts 11, verses 25 and 26. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Man, that's a year well spent. They spent the whole year meeting with the church. Now, of course, I'm sure that wasn't just every second of every hour of every day, but it was constant and it was consistent and it was faithful, and they did it for a whole year, meeting, 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 and meeting with these brethren for a whole year. Can you think of a better way to spend your time? Apparently, Paul and Barnabas couldn't think of any better way to spend their time for that whole year, meeting with the brethren in Antioch, and encouraging them and strengthening them and teaching large numbers of people. Man, that's a great year. That's the birding people, ornithologists, they have what's called the big year. Have you ever heard of the big year? The big year is where you go and you try to see as many of the species of birds in North America as you possibly can. And these guys plot out their whole year, and you got to have a lot of money and be able to have a lot of time on your hands. But they travel this circuit and they go to all the places where the rarest birds show up on a migratory pattern, and they see as many of the birds as they can in a single year. Now, to me, that sounds like a colossal waste of time. It's not as big a colossal waste of time as a lot of things that people do, but. Big year for Paul and Barnabas was this. This is what they did. Great use of their time for a whole year. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 2, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Think about making a commitment and saying, in a year's time, this is what I want to be able to do, to accomplish. In this case, it was raising a certain amount of money for the poor saints in Jerusalem. But it could be anything in the service of God. And you think, okay, I've got a year's time to do it in. And you plan that out. And you say, look, this month I'll do this, and this month I'll do this, and this month I'll do this. And you think about, the short-term goals that get you to the long-term goal. And it could be anything. It could be studying a book of the Bible. It could be memorizing something of the Bible. It could be reading the whole Bible. It can be trying to teach somebody and say, you know, I've got five people in my life and I'm going to try to reach one of them this year. I'm going to steadily work at trying to get a study started with one of these people, and I'm going to try to teach one of these people, and I'm going to work at this the whole year long. And whether it works or it doesn't work, whether I succeed or I don't succeed, it doesn't matter. This is what I'm going to do this year. Because he that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it. Since last year, Eunikeia were ready to give. In conclusion, brethren, may God grant us a new year. I pray that he does. I don't know that he will. I don't know. And may we be blessed in it. May we have good health. And may we have time to spend and resources with which to spend it. May we be faithful in the coming year and not be assaulted and persecuted. May we have leisure and comfort in which to spend our time. But how are we going to use it, assuming the Lord grants it to us? How are we going to spend our time? Will we spend it well by his judgment? That's up to us. Will we be closer to God at the end of the next 12 months? Will we have anything to show to the glory of God for the use of our time in the coming year? That's what we need to think about, and I encourage you to think about in the coming weeks of the new year. Come up with a game plan. Think about what it is that you want to accomplish for the Lord and start working toward it. And then review. Check yourself at the end of each month and say, what have I done this month in the pursuit of this goal that I set for myself to try to serve the Lord in this new year? This is the kind of things that I think would be constructive for us as we close out one year and begin another one. Do you have the year? Do you have the time? I don't know. Today or tomorrow? I don't know. And so maybe before you even anticipate getting a new year, you should close out this one in God's grace. And if you're not in God's grace right now, you need to be. Because your life is just a vapor. If you need to acknowledge God and acknowledge Jesus as his son, turn away from sin. Dedicate yourself to the service of God with whatever time you have left. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that you can leave here tonight in the grace of God. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.